Welcome to the Cowie Baptist Church podcast. To learn more about Cowie, including our gathering times, visit us online at cowie.church. Enjoy the message.
Amen. So grateful just for God's amazing grace, for what he has done through the finished work of Calvary, that it has made it possible for us to be in relationship with him. So grateful that you are here with us today. As we celebrate baptism, as we celebrate new life in Christ, as we celebrate Christmas, we invite you to join us on Christmas Eve. We'll be gathered right here at 6 p.m. and just excited about just that time where we will worship together, where we will be taking communion, and there'll be a candlelight piece of that as well. And so encourage you just to invite a friend. Maybe there's someone near you that's far from God, and just invite them. We're going to clearly just share the good news of the gospel, and we're praying. I know that you've been prayed for today, and we're just praying that God would continue just to work in the lives of his people, and we're praying that if there are people that gather with us that have never experienced the freedom and the grace of a relationship with Jesus Christ and being part of his family. You know, the Christmas story is a story of adoption, and it's going to just be a beautiful story that we look at today in Matthew's gospel, chapter number one, and we're going to just see God's hand at work in that chapter. So if you'll take your copy of God's word and turn there. I heard a story about 2 months ago, maybe, about a guy named Jay who found himself in a pretty difficult moment. He was in Buffalo, New York, and there was just this incredible blizzard that came in, and he had heard of a friend that was stranded, a friend that needed help, and so he left the warmth and went into the midst of the blizzard and found himself stranded as well. He came across a man named John who was walking and did not have warm clothing, was in a light jacket, and he invited him to join him in his truck. And so they're just trying to run the right amount of gas and keep things warm. And later that night, they began to try to find a place to stay. They could see that the warmth of this vehicle is only going to last so long. And so they asked people that they would come to, homes that they walked to, about being part of their family for that night, right? Could you let them have a place to stay? And even offered as much as $500 to stay somewhere. And when all those things failed, they had found another lady who was stranded, a lady named Mary. Imagine that, right? And she, they invited her in to the vehicle as well. And so they make it through the night, but realize that their time is running short on how long this fuel will last. And so he looks on his phone and on his GPS and finds a school that's not too far. And so he goes to this school. And in the midst of these moments, he decides to make the decision to break into the school. He broke a window, took Mike, Mary into the school, and then he made another decision in those moments to go back out into the blizzard. And so the story, you can look up the words Merry Christmas, Jay, and you'll find all kind of news stories. You'll find interviews from this guy. And you'll see there was a picture that I found. This was actually some inside footage there on the right. They broke in also. Not only did they break into the school, but they also broke into the kitchen there at the school. Found a table leg kind of pried in there. And they found, I think, some leftover pizza dough and some meatballs. And they had an incredible Christmas Eve meal in there. And Jay's heart was to do well in all this, and so he tried to leave things as much as he could, like they found it. They didn't use more than they needed, and he encouraged them to take care of one another. And it became this just really inspiring story that just went viral on social media, just a really encouraging moment. The police began to look for him. He had left a note that night, and this note said this: to whomever it may concern, I'm terribly sorry about breaking the school window and for breaking into the kitchen. Got stuck at 8 p.m. Friday and slept in my truck with two strangers just trying not to die. There were 7 elderly people stuck and out of fuel. I had to do it to save everyone and get them shelter, food, and a bathroom. And he signed it, Merry Christmas, Jay. Now, I'm thinking he probably didn't put his last name on there because it was probably like some breaking and enter charges, all the things. Smart guy, right? And so, but they, you know, it kind of went viral, and the police shared some things asking him to come forward just to recognize him. And he made just an incredible difference that night. And his courageous actions, they inspired a lot of people. It was pretty incredible to see what God did to this just ordinary guy, right? He just kind of found himself in a moment, and he acted, and he made an incredible difference. Well, you know, I was thinking about Matthew's Gospel chapter 1, and we're going to be in verse 18 to 25. And I was thinking about this man named Joseph, right? This ordinary but very courageous man, an ordinary carpenter who believed God, obeyed his command, and is forever part of the greatest story ever told, right? The hero of the story is always Jesus, but I'm going to tell you, maybe in second place, right here, this guy, I love his story, right? He was faced with a crisis. He trusted God at his word, and it came to him at great personal cost, right? For following Jesus does not give us a life of ease. Pastor Chris preached this past Wednesday night, right? And looked at the life of Mary, and he reminded us that favor with God does not equal favors from God, that sometimes it comes at a great cost in following him, but God does incredible work. So we're going to see how God worked through his obedience and how he used him as part of his plan to bring Jesus into the world. So Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1, beginning in verse 18. I want to invite you to stand with me if you are able, as we do every week, as we look at God's infallible, inerrant word. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. It says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. And Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took Mary as his wife, but kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Will you pray with me? God, we are so thankful. God, we're thankful for your word. God, we're thankful for the way, God, that you work in the midst of our world. God, you don't need anything, God, but you. God, you choose to use us. You choose to God, to bring us into your family, to send us out on mission, to allow us to be part of an incredible story of redemption. And God, I pray, Lord, that you would take your word and you would accomplish what you have sent it forth to do. God, may we hear the word. God, may we believe it and may we respond in obedience for the glory of your name. God, I pray if there's anyone here, God, that you're speaking to, God, that needs to trust you for salvation. God, that needs to take their first step of obedience and being baptized as a believer. God, I pray that they would be obedient to your command, that they would be obedient to your call. And God, that you would change lives in this room. God, that you would send us all out on mission for the glory of your name, reminded that you take broken pieces, that you turn them into masterpieces, that you take the ordinary, God, and you take just broken people, God, ordinary people, got a bunch of nobodies, and you fill them with somebody and you send them out to tell everybody, God, that we want to be those people. Lord, help us in Jesus' name. Amen. And all God's people said amen. Let's go. All right. We're going to jump in. Point number one, right? When we read this story, we see the crisis. Now, it's not going to be hard for us guys to figure out, right, that there's a crisis taking place. We're going to look at verse 18 and 19. We'll see those things very clearly, right? The birth of Jesus Christ. And when we see Christ, that is his title, right? That's not his last name. That means Messiah. And what we understand is that this is the anointed one, the appointed one, the one that they have been waiting for. We see this word more than 500 times in the New Testament, right? And he is the one, right? He's the one they've been waiting for, the Messiah. And it says the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. Now, when we see this wording, if you remember, we looked at the lineage a few weeks back, and we were reminded of this purpose in all of this lineage. It's the purpose of Matthew chapter 1, really just confirming and reminding and clearing to all of us that Jesus is the promised one. And we see this focus on Joseph, confirming that Jesus is truly of the lineage of David. And so we see this reminder of who he is, where he's come from. We see this adoptive father, right, is going to make this legal for him to be from the lineage of David. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago. So we see this crisis, and the crisis revolves around this thing, right? His mother Mary was betrothed, right? So to the birth of Jesus is as follows. Here's a story about his birth, and it says that his mother Mary, that she was betrothed to Joseph. And there's some important information there that we understand about this story, right? And when we look at it from a season past and understand it, but I want to take you there this morning, and I hope you can see this through the lens of a young man named Joseph. Now, there's a dilemma, there's a problem, there's a crisis that he has. The Bible says that before they came together, that she was with child, right? And Joseph's parents, what we would understand about that time is that Joseph's parents would have likely arranged this marriage since they were children, right? So they've probably grown up with this marriage arranged. And as I look in the room, I think about a couple things about this. Like if you've got kids, maybe, these two dads probably got together. They arranged this marriage. They're thinking, this is the right kind of person for my daughter. This is the right kind of person for my son. And they've arranged this marriage. And some of you might say, hey, I wish we were in those times, right? Maybe you're a dad in here and you say, hey, I wish that was still how it was. Worked. Well, when I think of this story and I look at my father-in-law, I'm so glad that it worked, right? There'd be no Jason and Sherry, okay? There's no arranging, right, Paul? No arranging, right? Now, maybe now, right? If he can look back, he would say, yeah, that's good. But then, right? And there'd be no Hope and Grant. Like, listen, I'm so glad, right? We were in a different time. But the time that they were in, they would have planned this marriage, right? And later in life, what would happen is these two would be betrothed. Now, this word betrothed, it has a lot more significance than our word that we might use for engagement, right? This was a legal moment. This was binding and this was permanent. What we know about it is the only way out was through a legal divorce. Now, what would happen is they would be betrothed to one another. This would last up to maybe like a year in the midst. And the only thing that would be left, right, there would be this moment maybe of ceremony, this moment of celebration, and then they would come together and they would consummate the marriage. And so here they are in this kind of moment, right, that all that's left is the wife to be brought to the husband's home. Now, when we read, we could imagine that Joseph was doing some preparing. The man would build a place. He literally many times would add a room on to his parents' house. And listen, I'm not saying that's a great idea either, okay? So there were some things about that time, right? They're going to live there. Listen, when we read in John 14, Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. This is wedding language, right? He is, and Joseph is probably preparing. He's got his little tool belt on, right? He's a carpenter, and he's dreaming about this day, right? I talk to young couples as we walk toward marriage, and listen, there's these moments that they're just dreaming about all their lives, right? Joseph's probably just dreaming about these moments. Mary's dreaming about these moments. He's working on the place that they're going to stay, got his tool belt, doing his thing. This is the look that they're in. Man, it's an exciting time. The only way it can be broken, right? A legal divorce. And this explains, right? There's a crisis that's hit. There's a moment that Joseph's trying to figure out what to do. In verse 19, it explains what he's up to. It says, Joseph, her husband. Now, this is why when we read this, although they were not living together, they had not come together in that way, they were still called husband and wife in this betrothal period. That's why we read her husband in verse 19. Says, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. So this moment that it began with all this joy had now resulted in all kinds of turmoil. Joseph's been anticipating, and Mary comes into the scene. Now I want you to picture this moment, right? Mary is coming in and she says, Joseph, hey, I need to talk to you, right? And he's working, he's doing his thing, he's trying to get things ready. I just imagine that kind of moment. And she says, I need to talk to you. And Joseph's like doing his thing, and she understands it. Like with men, when you're doing two things, we hear nothing, right? Like if I'm looking at anything else, like Sherry has to get my attention. I can imagine her saying, no, Joe, you got to sit down here. I need to talk to you. And then Joseph's probably in his mind. He looks in her eyes, sees a little nervousness, a little stuff going on. Joseph's probably thinking, what in the world did I do? That's what I think, right? When that moment, right? And so he's listening, he's leaned in to this kind of moment, right? And there's nervousness in Mary's voice as she just tries to explain to him. She says, listen, I'm going to have a child. Now there's a problem here, right? I mean, we understand how this works, right? There's a problem here. She says, I'm going to have a child, but it's not what you think, Joseph. It's not what you think. This child is of the Holy Spirit. Now, Joseph, guess how many words are recorded of Joseph in the whole Bible? How many? None. Like, here's what happened to me. Sherry came, and we were finding out. She had already kind of found out, I guess, and I'm finding out that we're going to have a child, and she has, you know, gotten one of these test things, and so she calls me into the room, and she shows me this test, and for you young men, if you ever experience this, do not do what I did, but I just, like, I looked at this test, and I understood what it meant, and so I just laid the test down and left, like, I just went outside, like, that'll bless your heart, right? If you're a lady, like, I just needed to process this thing, right? And Joseph, like, he don't speak a whole word the whole Bible, right? I don't know. He's processing this thing, right? He don't have any recorded words. And so he's thinking, he's processing, he's in this moment. But whatever happened in that conversation, what we understand is he's not buying it all. Joseph's got a couple of options in here. He has two choices and two choices only. He could publicly disgrace her or he could privately divorce her, right? He was a just man. He wants to walk in the law. And he understands that this baby that she has is not his. And so there's this thought, hey, I could publicly disgrace her. The law would allow a lot of things. We would read some religious people in John chapter 8 that would drag this woman that was caught in the very act of adultery before Jesus, right? We would see this moment where he would say, hey, Moses, the law says, stone her. What do you say, right? And we see this kind of moment, right? So Joseph could publicly disgrace her. And if he did, it's going to look a lot better on him, right? Or he could send her away secretly. He could say, listen, I'm going to divorce her privately. I'm not going to make a big deal of this. And whoever this man is, whoever this situation is, I'm going to let her go. I love her. I care about her. And while my heart is broken, I'm going to send her away secretly. And that's what he planned to do. The Bible says, wanting not to disgrace her, that he planned to send her away. So we see this crisis, man, he's in a mess. And guys, we can imagine that moment. But in the midst of that crisis, we see the command, right? Point number two, we see the command. Verse 20. It says, when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David. Now, he reminds Joseph of this messianic lineage when he says, son of David. And he commands her, listen, when we read this passage, he says, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. He said, don't be afraid. What she's telling you is true. And then verse 21, he said, she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. He said, Joseph, don't be afraid. You marry her. And when you do, you're going to adopt this young man. And when you adopt this child, you're going to call his name Jesus. You're going to adopt him. You're going to name him Jesus. And this name Jesus, it is a name, right, that means Yahweh is salvation, or the Lord saves. And so Joseph is going to step into this moment. And what that means for Joseph is not only is he going to walk in obedience to the Lord, but he's going to face great consequence for it. He's going to step in to the shame with her, because there's one of two things, right? When people would see them and they would see that baby bump and they would understand, like, hey, I don't remember the betrothal kind of finishing there. And so I think you got a little ahead, right? So there's this moment where Joseph is kind of stepping into this her shame, the thing that she might experience along this. And either it's going to look like he sinned or he's going to do something else, right? He's going to tell the truth about what's going on. And he's going to say, hey, I know it looks like things got out of order here, but here's what I need you to understand, right? That this baby is from the Holy Spirit, right? This baby is not mine, and it's no other man's, right? This is God's son, right? This is the announcement, right? People have been longing to hear. Matthew steps back for a minute. We know the story, but Matthew steps back in verse 22, and he takes us back like 740 years to Isaiah chapter 7, where we would read the words of the prophet, right? 740 years before this event takes place, we'd read in Isaiah 7, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel, God with us. What a mighty God. Verse 23, right? We see this verse quoted. The virgin shall be with child, and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated means God with us. This is the heart of the Christmas story, right? God with us. The baby in the manger, right? It is God himself in the person of his son. The God who is over all things. The God who is transcendent is immanent. He is with us. The God who created everything. The uncreated creator. The God who has existed from eternity past. The uncreated creator steps into the midst of the brokenness of this world. The God that we read holds everything together in his power. The God who is in need of nothing. And the one in whom we all are in desperate need of. He holds everything together by his power. God with us. Today he is with us. For those who are weary, Emmanuel, right? God is with us. For those with empty seats at a table this year, God is with us. Joseph hears this word from God. He believes it and it changes everything in his life, right? We've seen the crisis. We've seen the command. And next we see the commitment in verse 24 and 25. Point number three, the commitment, right? Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took Mary as his wife, but kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son. And he called his name Jesus. And what a beautiful story. He heard his voice. He believed his promises. And he walked in obedience, right? He obeyed God's command, one of my favorite parts. All right, Joseph wakes from this dream, and the Bible says he just did what God told him. Listen, if God's telling you to walk in obedience today, to take a step of obedience, man, we learn a lot from Joseph. Right? He did what the Lord told him. He didn't meet with his groomsmen. He didn't say, hey, listen, this is what Mary told me. Then the angel told me this. What do you think I should do? Listen, he had heard a word from the Lord and he walked in it. This is the Christian life, right? Followers of Jesus Christ, we open the word of God. We believe what it says and we walk in obedience to it. We're a daily abiding people. We open the word of God. We believe the truth of the word of God and we walk in obedience to the word of God and we repeat the process over and over as we trust and obey. Listen, today as we saw these people walk in obedience. In the last two services, we've seen people walk into these baptismal waters. Listen, they heard the word. They believed it. And today you saw them walking in obedience to God's command of being baptized. Listen, this is the beginnings of a walk with Christ. Hearing, believing, and obeying, right? Surrendering our life in the good news of Christmas. The good news of Christmas is this. Jesus, born of a virgin, he lived a sinless life, right? He died, though, a sinner's death. And he rose again so that we might be reconciled to a holy God. Listen, the Bible says that the wages of sin is death. The Bible would tell us that there's none righteous, not even one. Romans 3:10, verse 23 of that same chapter says that we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God because of our sin. We're separated from a holy God with no hope in our own of redemption, right? The Bible says that there's nothing we could do to earn our salvation, but it's through grace, right? The Bible says that it's by grace that you are saved through faith in Jesus, right? That it's by grace you're saved through faith, not of works, not anything that you've done. But as we sung so beautifully today, man, we celebrate what Christ has done. And because what he has done, when we believe that, when we recognize that we have sinned and our sin has separated us from God, but we believe that what Jesus did on that cross, right, that it was in our place. 2 Corinthians 5 just reminds us of what we've seen in this baptismal water today, that those who have placed their faith in Christ, that they're buried with him in baptism, right? There's a a picture that they've died with Christ and they've been risen to walk in newness of life. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says that no matter how you've come, no matter all the things that are in your past, no matter how much sin, some of us think, man, I'm too far gone. You don't know what I've done. Listen, I don't know everything about what you've done, but I know what Jesus did, and it is enough. It is sufficient, right, to save. And Jesus, he died on Calvary's cross. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5 that if anyone is in Christ, that he's a new creature, that old things are passed away and all things become new. The Bible says, though your sins may be as scarlet, that he'll wash them and he'll make them white as snow, right? And the beautiful thing is, right, that there's nothing that we could earn, but that what Jesus did on that cross, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21, the Bible says, he who knew no sin, that's Jesus, born into the midst of this broken world, lived a sinless life and died in our place on Calvary's cross, right? And on Calvary's cross, he made a way for us. The Bible says, he who knew no sin became sin. What that means is on Calvary's cross, Jesus took all of our sin, all of our shame, all of the wrath of God that we deserve, right? The wages of sin is death, but Jesus took our sin. He took our shame, right? And he nailed it to the cross, right? Cried out, tetelestai, paid in full. The Bible says that he who knew no sin became sin so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. It's the great exchange. It's the most beautiful truth of the gospel that we take and trusting in Jesus Christ. He takes all of our sin and all of our shame and all of our mess. And when we believe and trust in him, the very righteousness of God is given to us, right? Credited to us, given to us. And we who deserve death, listen, God treats Jesus on the cross like I deserve to be treated. The punishment that I deserved, he took in my place. And when we believe and trust in Jesus because of what Jesus did on that cross, he treats me like Jesus deserved to be treated. And I am made right with a holy God. That's the good news of Christmas. And will you hear his word today? Will you, like Joseph, will you hear it and believe that Jesus is the one, the Savior who died for your sins? Will you believe his promises that through faith in him, you can have forgiveness, you can receive mercy, and you will have eternal life? And will you obey his command to follow him, to repent of your sins? Listen, that's a churchy word. We said it early in the service. The word repent simply means a change of mind that results in a change of direction. Will you believe that what Jesus did on that cross counted for you, and turning from your sins and surrendering to him by faith, trusting that what Jesus did counted for you? Listen, will you obey his command? Repent and believe. Today, he's inviting you, no matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, into his extraordinary and beautiful redemption plan. Like those who've been baptized this morning, you have an opportunity to respond. Your moment to hear the word of God, to believe it, and to say yes to Jesus. And listen, we walk in obedience to him. If trust Jesus today. Listen, that may be how God is speaking to you. Now is the time. Trust him today. Like Cohen, man, the words of that prayer, listen, there's no special words of a prayer that save us. This baptismal water doesn't save us. It is repentance and faith in Christ. It is trusting in him. We read in God's word, Romans 10, verse 9 says, if we confess with our mouth, Jesus is Lord. Listen, there's a posture of surrender. Jesus is in charge and not you. And believe in your heart, right? Not just knowing about him with our minds, but trusting him with our life, believing with our heart, surrendering everything to him, trusting him. It says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Verse 13, for whoever would call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Listen, you can call on his name even in these moments. As I shared in the baptismal water, I'll never forget Cohen calling on the name of the Lord. Listen, there's a posture of repentance and faith. He was believing and trusting. But man, he cried out to God. He said, Jesus, he said, I believe in you and no one else. See, there's an exclusivity in following Christ. We're saying, God, all my weight, everything I have, Lord, I'm trusting in you. My full weight, my whole life is in you. I believe. And I want to follow you in obedience. I want to invite you in these moments to call on his name. God is with us, Emmanuel. Maybe you, like Joseph, has heard his voice today. Maybe you, like Seth and I in the Mexican restaurant, man, the power of God was at work. Maybe God's speaking to your heart this morning. He's calling you to repentance and faith. to trust in him and no one else. And if you'll do it, he'll save you. He'll make you new. He'll put his spirit within you. And you begin this walk of obedience in Christ. I'm going to pray for us. I want to invite you just to bow your head and close your eyes for just a moment. Maybe you're here again. There's nothing exacting about the words of a prayer, but maybe you're here and the condition of your heart is repentance and faith in Christ. Maybe that's the posture of your heart in these moments. Maybe as God speaks to you, there would be somebody in this room that would say, God's speaking to me. I recognize that I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. I've heard the word. I believe it this morning. And I'm going to respond in obedience to Christ. If that's you, you can call on his name even in these moments. You can pray. Again, nothing special about the exact words of a prayer, but if it's the posture of your heart, repentance and faith, you call on his name. Confess you're a sinner. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. I believe that what you did on that cross, and crowd even in these moments, right? What you did on that cross was for me. All my sin, all my shame, it was paid for because of what you've done. And today, I believe. I turn from my sin. I turn from my ways. God, you are Lord. I confess. Save me and help me to follow you all the days of my life. Maybe that's your posture this morning. Call on his name. Maybe you're here this morning and you'd say, you know what? I've trusted in Jesus. Maybe this morning I've called his name. I surrendered my life to him right now. We read these words, repent and be baptized. That's the very first step of obedience, is to step into those baptismal waters. You know, we've seen it so many times where we've been in a service like this and the Spirit of God has been at work in our lives. And someone might leave their seat, and they might leave their sin, surrender to King Jesus, and begin that walk of obedience in that moment and step into those baptismal waters. You might say, you know what, I didn't come prepared to do that today. I'd rather leave wet and obedient than dry and disobedient. So if God calls you, if he speaks to you this morning, I pray you'll step out from where you're at, that you'll walk in obedience to him. Some of you may need to pray, maybe just heavy laden, just that reminder that God is with us. This altar is open. Come, we'd love to pray with you, to pray for family, pray for those that are maybe just going through difficult times. God's with us this morning. He's here. His presence is among us. God, we love you. We thank you. God, we thank you for grace and for mercy, God, for mercy that we didn't get what we deserved. Lord, you put it all on Jesus. Lord, and for grace that if we would believe and trust in you, Lord, that we would receive the gift of salvation. God, have your will and way in every life. Jesus, we love you. We worship you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you'll stand this morning, if God speaks to you, be obedient. Step out from where you're at. We'll jump in those baptismal waters together. We'll kneel on this altar. However God speaks, be obedient this morning as we worship him.